Think that intro will ever get old.
That was awesome.
Just like the song, you know, just it's just such a good song. Hey everybody, I'm Jorge, this is Teddy, and welcome to Fourth and Frames, the fantasy football podcast for fantasyframes.com. Do we have a show for you if you like dynasty fantasy football? I just want to get right into introducing all of our guests here today. So let's start now with the host, the brand new host of our other podcast here at Fantasy and Frames, the Four-Eyed Basics. I give you Mr. Brian Ford. Congratulations on becoming the new host there, Brian. How are you today?
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm doing well. I'm glad that it's Friday Eve. I'm sorry if I feel if I sound a little nasally tonight. I'm still a little stuffed from a cold I have, but other than that, I'm feeling great. Happy to be here.
Nice. And, you know, we had one member of the Dynasty Rewind family on last week, Porkman, a.k.a. Phil. We thought, you know what, we might as well bring on this other guy who's on the Dynasty Rewind. I don't know if you've heard of him before. His name is Mike Bauer, Rewind CEO on Twitter. Bauer, how are you doing today?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we today? Do you guys think it's okay to drop Greg Ward now?
I think it's safe. I think you're good.
Putting up a roster,
I didn't know that anybody was rostering him.
I didn't know that he was still on a roster.
Did you see him smile and point to himself? He's proud. This guy.
So we got a lot to cover today in terms of tips and strategies for how to draft in Dynasty, looking at both the short term and long term and the combination of both and all that stuff. Before we get to that, what's up, Troy? Before we get to that, let's pay some bills really quickly. Look, a lot of the information you're going to hear from us today, you know, we want to make sure that, and Troy, you'll appreciate this because we were talking about this earlier. A lot of people out there in the fantasy community just like to throw stats at you, and that's their argument. Well, stats are there to support your argument, in my opinion. And one place that you can go to get great stats that can help support any argument you have in the fantasy football community is fantasydata.com. Use the promo code Fantasy and Frames. You get 20% off of your monthly bill. Great for all the football fans out there, baseball, basketball, golf, you name it. You know, even if you're not a content creator, even if you're not into, you know, producing stuff, a content creator, just having some added knowledge, just learning some stuff about your favorite football players or basketball players or whoever you're rooting for, it's just cool to know. It's cool to learn stuff. So head over there. Use their promo code Fantasy and Frames. You get 20% off of your monthly bill. Really quick, I want to give a shout out to Club Fantasy FFL for having me on yesterday. Josh, Joe, and Ryan, three class acts in the fantasy football community. We were talking some IDP, and we were also talking about, they let me graciously talk about our charity tournament with 4i Championships. And I made an announcement yesterday regarding the tournament. And I guess some people are wondering, why are we calling it the championships? Well, that's because there are a lot of champions in this tournament. Case in point, you have the tournament champion who gets a donation to their charity plus a championship belt and all that good stuff.
Then have you started putting my name on that yet, by the way?
No, not yet. I think the rest of these gentlemen on the show have something to say about that. But
I just want to help you spell it. It's fine.
Okay, I see what you're doing there. Yeah, okay. Coming in loud and clear. So then you have the six regular division winners in the regular season. They get money donated to their charity. The six second-place regular season finishers get money donated to their charity. And as talked about yesterday, one of the big complaints from the charity tournament last year was that once we got to the tournament playoffs, brackets were still going on. Matchups were still being had on their apps, on their sleeper app. But they didn't count for anything. Well, now they count for something. You win your bracket, you also get charity. money headed your way. So that's 19 winners or champions for their charity getting donations in the 4-H Championships tournament. Signups are available if you go to fantasyinframes.com, click on the 4-H Championships banner. You know, you're also at fantasyinframes.com. You might as well stop by and check out our dynasty rankings. I have my rankings for offense and IDP up. And Brian, you got yours for offense. So definitely check those out. We'll be updating those weekly. So, you know, as we were in dynasty season, you know, it's good to have that stuff ready, readily available for you to have. And speaking of dynasty season, let's just get into it. You know, it's draft season. The NFL draft is over. You know, well, I shouldn't say it's draft season. Drafts have been going on before the NFL draft. But I feel from my perspective, it's draft season because now I know where players are. Now I can evaluate where they're going to be, how they're, what the role is going to be on their respective teams. But we have different perspectives when it comes to drafting in fantasy. You know, some people are about the short-term game, winning now. Some people are about the long-term, wanting longevity, wanting consistency over a, you know, period of time. You know, for those who are new to fantasy football into dynasty, you know, people commit, you know, years, not a year, but like years, like both like 3, 4, 5 to a, you know, a league of their choosing. I know people who've been in dynasty leagues for 19 years. I know people who've just started. I'm one who just started in a dynasty league this year. Michael Bauer, your dynasty league that we have going on over there. It's so much fun, but there's just so many ways to attack dynasty. So I figure let's get, you know, a couple perspectives on these topics. So Teddy, let's start with you. It is no secret that you are Mr. Short-Term. You want the trophy now. What are some draft strategies that you think are helpful to all the 4-H fans out there watching and listening when they're planning for their dynasty drafts?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like you, anytime we kind of talk about dynasty, you kind of have to preface it from, if it's like a home dynasty league where you know your friends, you know, obviously, or you know, your league mates and everything, that's honestly going to be how you determine probably what kind of strategy and what kind of competition you have. So in my home dynasty league, we kind of converted from a redraft league that ended up with like some keepers, and then we went full dynasty. And honestly, when we kind of converted and kind of started anew, everyone in my league drafted just like it was a redraft league. And so they went with big names. And so I went through a perfect season last year in that league. And so as I was doing it, people were asking like, well, who was on my roster? And I'd show them, they're like, there's no way that you have this roster. Right. And, but it was, you know, it's just knowing who you are. But as far as like it comes to winning now, I feel like it's honestly going to be a little bit like drafting almost a redraft team, where when it comes to dynasty, the biggest difference is age is a huge factor. Age, contracts, you know, that kind of stuff is a huge factor, because you are kind of intending to roster these guys for a while, or you want to make sure you have a good trade piece, right, to kind of build some depth for the future. But for me, whenever it comes to short term, like you're basically drafting guys that are going to be more likely veterans and not really, you know, capture on youth, in the sense that you want proven talent. You want guys that are potentially on bad teams. That way they get a lot of garbage time points and garbage time usage. And so I think through those kind of strategies and not necessarily caring about age from the jump, you know, I think that there's a way to kind of set yourself up to win now, while others might be like, oh, let me go with the youngest guy available, or oh, he got drafted last year, let me go with him over a guy that's been proven already.
Brian, when you started playing Dynasty and doing your drafts, were you a short-term approach type of guy, or were you a long-term approach type of guy?
Well, I think I do a little bit of both sometimes. I think there are certain leagues where, you know, like Teddy said, drafting for the short term makes sense. I think a lot of folks who are in, say, some high stakes leagues, like, you know, $100 or more, they're drafting for shorter windows. I think there are some leagues where it makes sense to go for the long term, which Mike's going to talk about. I often do a mix of both. So, for example, I might, you know, go real young at running back if I can, try to get me DeAndre Swift. But I won't mind taking DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver. He was 28, 29 years old. And so I think there are times when I do both, and there are times when I do either. And I think it just depends on how the draft is kind of coming to you, what your league mates are doing, what your intentions are. I think a good tweener for me, a tweener window is like a 3-year window. Think about your team in a 3-year window. Longer term folks think maybe longer down the road. Shorter term folks are win now. For me, I like to think of my team in a 3-year window.
Mike, you know, Brian brought up something that is very important that I want everybody to know. From your perspective, you're like the Dynasty expert. You're Mr. Dynasty. You should be hired by all the major outlets. You and your guys over at the Dynasty Rewind should have your syndicated show.
That part I agree with.
You guys do a fantastic job. So I really want to get your opinion. When you're just drafting, let's just say it's a one quarterback league in Dynasty, what's your strategy? Do you go for like the stable and consistent players and then save the volatile players like a running back for your rookie drafts? Or how do you go about starting, you know, your roster construction?
Are we talking a rookie draft or a startup now?
Startup.
Okay, startup. So, you know, a lot of people do what's called the productive struggle from the get-go. I've done that a lot. So the first thing you want to do is trade back. You could even trade out of the first round altogether. I've done a startup where I traded out of the first 3 rounds and you start picking in the 4th round and then you just start taking best player available. You always go youth and you always go high upside. So you give yourself an age limit and it might be like 27, 28 and you want your oldest player to be your quarterback always. This is how I do it if I'm just trying to punt the position, you know, trying to punt long term, because sometimes it's nice to do that and you build yourself a nice little quote unquote dynasty. Trade back. Don't take anybody that's a starter. Take like guys that are wide receiver 2s, running back 2s on a team, and you have a full lineup and it's not going to look pretty at all. And everyone's going to laugh at you, but that's okay. And then you just want to acquire as much draft capital as you possibly can for you know, your rookie drafts. So, and we'll get into rookie drafts in a little bit, but that's just one thing that I do is you just basically want to remember low risk, high reward. You know, you're drafting these guys late. You know what I mean? Like someone's taking Antonio Brown late. You might want to take like Quintez Cephas. You know, and another good strategy too is play it like it's redraft the first year in the startup and treat it like it's dynasty every offseason after that. So draft your team like it's redraft, tear it down in the offseason and build it back up to win again. So, and that's how, Jorge, I know you're a new dynasty player. That would be a good strategy for you.
Wink. Good to know.
Don't use trade calculators. They suck.
Good to know also, folks, don't use trade calculators. Now, what about in two quarterback leagues? Now, this is obviously where two QBs or super flex leagues, let me put it like that, super flex leagues, which are essentially, you know, two quarterback leagues.
That's not necessarily true, and I'll tell you why. There was one, but I'm trying to find it. It is a super flex league, and I had two picks that were within 2 picks of each other in the first round. And I took a quarterback and I took Kyle Pitts. And people are like, what are you doing? Mac Jones is still on the board. That's true. Mac Jones is still on the board. But the next great tight end is right here, right now, right in front of me. And if I don't pick him right now, it could be a move that I regret for the rest of the time I'm in this league. So let me ask you this, okay? Think back to last year when Nick Foles was a starting quarterback, all right? When he was a starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears, who would you rather start in a flex spot? Travis Kelce or Nick Foles?
Travis Kelce.
Nick Foles.
Oh, quarterback is not always the answer. Okay. And that's what I try to tell people. Super flex does not mean quarterback. Two quarterback means two quarterback. Super flex means whatever the hell you want it to be. In Scott Fish this year, you can flex a kicker if you want to. So when you're building a roster, think about the roster, not about the positions. Does that make sense? You can always get something else later.
No, it does. You know, another thing when it comes to redraft versus dynasty, and I really want, you know, everyone's opinion here. It'll go around the frames. You know how they say in redraft, you just kind of go with the flow of the draft, and where one person zigs, the other person zags. I feel like for dynasty purposes, for building a team for the long haul, you're kind of restricted in a sense. Like you have to kind of go playing it safe in certain, for certain positions versus, you know, being more conservative for others. Mike, what are your thoughts there?
I actually think it's the opposite. I think if you want to win now, you're playing it conservative, because if you want to win later, you're taking a chance on guys like, I just pulled up a super flex league here. Let's see. So in the 3rd round, someone took Davis Mills. When the next 2 picks were Josh Palmer, looks like he's going to be pretty good, Diami Brown, and Dwayne Eskridge. guys that had decent draft capital and had good landing spots. So Davis Mills, I know it's super flex league, but that's a risk if Deshaun Watson comes back. So that's a good pick to make for farther out. Also, a guy like Kellen Mond, who realistically might not ever play. Ian Book, who is a project. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not shying away from Tylan Wallace either. I just want to say that. I understand that he went to the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson is not as bad of a quarterback as people make him out to be. Tylan Wallace is a beast. Yes, he's had injuries. Yes, he has fourth-round draft capital. They're revamping that wide receiver core in Baltimore. So if you can get Tylan Wallace late in your rookie drafts, do it, man. I have no problem with that at all.
Teddy, let's jump back to you for a second. So for somebody who's playing in the short term, wants to win now, what do you do with your rookie draft picks? Let's get into rookie drafts. Do you just trade them away for proven veterans, or like what do you do with those?
So I've kind of done both now because it kind of depends on how you're feeling about a class. I think this class is a really good example in the sense that I've already been in one of my dynasty leagues. I didn't have a single rookie pick in their rookie draft this year because I wasn't going to be toward the top of the rounds. And so I was just like, you know what? I don't really want anybody. And then I saw where they kind of landed and I felt pretty good about it. And my other league mates were trying to trade back and like trade out. And I was like, I'm good. You know? So, I mean, it really does kind of depend, but like last year, in another dynasty league, when I had my rookie picks, I had the 10th pick in the first round. And again, I think it's coming. It kind of depends on the draft coming to you because I had the 10th pick when it was a 10-person league. And I had Justin Jefferson that fell to me at number 10, who I like coming out of LSU. And obviously he went nuts. And so I think it just kind of depends on, again, like knowing who it is and who your league mates are. But I do think that there is a higher chance for trading out of rookie drafts if you aren't, you know, if you are trying to win now because you're not really building for the future through rookie drafts or anything.
Brian, what are your thoughts, sir?
Well, I even if I'm a contender and I'm competing, there's still a little bit of attraction to having rookie draft picks because you can't have never have an influx of new talent into your team. So I tend to be pretty conservative in the sense, if we're defining conservative as holding on to your draft picks because you want to, you know, safely draft a few rookies here and there. I tend to hold on to them and not get rid of them, even if I am trying to win now. I mean, if I'm making a run for a championship like this league, my home league that I'm in, I just went for it all this year. I still held on to my first and my third. And only dealt my second and my fourth, you know, and I made it to the championship round. I lost in the championship, but, you know, that's just an example of kind of still talking about being in a tweener where
right. You
do a little bit of both.
So, Bauer, it sounds like from your perspective for playing the long game, it's all about acquire, get as many as you can. At what point, like, how far would you go to get a draft pick? Like, if you had let's use Derrick Henry as an example. He's an older running back, still dominant running back in fantasy, and he has back-to-back weeks of 40-plus points. Are you, as a long con person, saying, hey, I want to sell Derrick Henry for as many picks as I can get?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think I only have Derrick Henry on one roster, to be perfectly honest with you, because if I try to rebuild, he's a guy that I look to move. Same with a guy like Travis Kelce. You got to strike while the iron's hot with these guys. And sometimes if your team is bad and it's midseason and these guys are really hot, dump them. They're not helping you. You know, what you guys were saying before too, about having rookie draft picks when you're a contender. If you're a contender, you really want to try to move pieces to try to get like top four, top five of the first round. I brought up a one quarterback league I did here. Najee Harris, Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase, and Travis Etienne were the top four in this one quarterback lead. And then after that, it starts to taper off. So that's really where the contribute now and contribute later comes in. But I'm looking at this draft here, okay? I actually managed my team so that I ended up having 12 draft picks in this draft because my team was horrible. I won one game last year, and that's because the guy I played forgot to set his lineup. I did say to the commissioner, if you want to let him set a lineup, you can also, it doesn't matter. I'm
getting you're like, please, I'll take the loss.
So I had 12 draft picks. I should have had the 1-1, but I ended up trading back to the 1-7. Now, keep in mind, my team is trash, okay? But this is where playing the long game comes in. So the 1-7, I took Trevor Lawrence. Should I take Trevor Lawrence in a one quarterback league? Maybe not. He was the best player on the board. And that's good. I don't have to worry about quarterback for a while, unless he gets hurt, which we hope doesn't happen. I also had the 1-12. Should really look for a running back here, right? Pat Freiermuth at the 1-12. Another generational talent. It's going to Pittsburgh, going to a great situation. So I took him. I had the 2-2. Should really, really look for a running back because my running backs are bad. I took Elijah Moore. And it goes on. Amari Rodgers, I took. Nico Collins at the 2-10. We go to the third round. Finally take my first running back at the 3-5. I take Elijah Mitchell because he was there and I liked the landing spot. I think it could be, in a few years, Trey Sermon, Elijah Mitchell. Then I also had the 3-7, Cornell Powell. Fantastic landing spot in Kansas City. Completely different than anything that they have aside from Tyreek Hill. At the 3-8, I took Mac Jones. Didn't need another quarterback. Best player there, I thought. 3-10, Brevin Jordan. You want to talk about a guy whose value has fallen? 3-10, I took him. Didn't need another tight end. Best player available. At 4-3, I took Kylan Hill because I have to. If you know me, you know I love the guy. Hoping he gets cut and he latches on with a running back needy team. If he gets cut and goes to like in Atlanta or even maybe in Miami or something like that, he's going to have value. And if you have him and you drafted him, and he goes somewhere that needs a running back, strike while the iron's hot, in case he ends up sucking. At the 4-5, I took Kenny Yeboah, another guy that really, he's got a stretch, but we're talking long-term, long play.
Right.
He's probably going to sit on my taxi squad for 2 years. Then I took Puka Williams at the 4-6. That's Nate's guy, so I figured I'd do him a solid. Tamarion Terry at the 4-8 went to the perfect spot for him. He went to Seattle. And then I finished the draft off with the 4-12 Sage Surratt, who I believe in. I don't care what anybody says. He went to a good spot. So, you know, this
another is, quarterback. You took another quarterback at this one.
Sage Surratt is a wide receiver.
No, I know, but he played quarterback.
Yeah. I'm sorry, he did. This is how you play the long game. You really, really just low risk because these guys are late picks, possible high reward. And here's the thing. If you don't like these guys, trade them. And when people say fourth and fifth round draft picks don't matter, they do. Because when you have 3 4th round draft picks and you move up in your draft to get a guy that's now a contributor, like how many people shipped out 4th round draft picks and drafted Terry McLaurin in the 3rd round of the rookie draft? If you sent 3 4th round draft picks to do that and you got Terry McLaurin, can you say the 4th round draft picks don't matter?
That's a good point.
So you need to acquire as much as you can and play the long game. Be patient and remember, for 1 or 2 years, it's okay to suck.
So let me ask, and this is kind of like an open question to everybody. When you're trying to make a package for a trade with a veteran and a draft pick or draft picks, how do you know how to do that? Is it all based off of like trying to understand what the person you're trying to trade perceives as what value is? Or is there like some like set in stone way to go about that? Like the older the player they are, the more draft picks, because he's not going to be around that much longer, versus a younger player where you won't have to give up too many draft picks because that younger player is still going to be around for a while, so you don't need to give up too much youth on your end. Teddy, we'll start with you.
I mean, it's a good question, and obviously as Bauer said, you can't really trust trade calculators, and so you don't want to bring those into the conversation at all. But I think it honestly just kind of depends on having an honest look at what you are trying to do with your team and who can help you out, right? And so, like, if you are trying to win now, maybe you are trying to unload draft picks to, draft picks and young guys to a team that's trying to develop and rebuild. Or if you are trying to rebuild, maybe you are trying to kind of get your veterans to, like your Derrick Henry's almost, your Travis Kelce's, to teams that are looking to rebuild and like you are, or that are trying to make a push. And so then you can get some extra draft capital and that kind of stuff. So I think it just depends on, having an honest conversation. I think in dynasty leagues, the conversation matters more than in redraft leagues when it comes to trades, rather than just like firing off potential trades, right? Which I feel like happens in redraft. You're like, hey, I'll give you this guy for this guy. But because of like the draft picks and everything, I think you have to do a little bit more research with the standings, the team needs, and kind of assessing like, hey, I think you need this. Here's who I've got, kind of thing. You know, I think the conversation is more important when it comes to dynasty leagues than it is in redraft, where you can just kind of fire them off and hope somebody bites.
What do you think about that, Brian? Do you agree with Teddy there?
Yeah, I do. I agree with pretty much everything and Teddy said. I'm not sure if I can add too much, but I will add this, and people are going to cringe. I think if you're a beginning player, especially, trade calculators are not a bad thing. I think they give you a little bit of a ballpark as you're getting into this this world of dynasty, and then as you go, you start to get a better feel of what things are worth. And then I wouldn't screenshot it and give it to somebody or something. Yeah. But I've used them before as like, I guess I was maybe, am I way off on this? I need to check myself here. And also with trades, I agree that you're trying to look at a team and think what they need. Like, is this guy going for it now? You know, is this gal doing the long term? And that's going to determine really what you're doing when it comes to trade talks.
Nice. Mike, when you're, you know, well, let me preface this before I ask you the question. You know, one of the things at fantasyandframes.com that we like to do is we like to be able to give you enough information, whether you're a new player to fantasy football, you're an experienced player to fantasy football. And I think a lot of the conversation we've had tonight has revolved around people who have like moderate levels of experience. But Brian, you brought up, if you're a new person to dynasty fantasy football, how big should your league be? Like, what is not an overwhelming amount of players to have on your roster? And then maybe you could speak to that a little bit. Bauer, yeah, you.
Well, first you have to look at how many positions you're starting, right? You know, one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, how many flexes, whatever. You want to make sure that you have some depth, because shallow benches suck, especially in dynasty. They do. It's, you know, I personally like really deep benches. And I also respect the leagues that keep it a little lean to force the tough decisions, as they say. But, you know, your average start 11, I think start 10, start 11, you're probably looking at like a 25-man roster, something like that. If you have IDP, you're probably pushing closer to 30, depending on your IDP setups. But I think 25 to 30 is probably where you're going. And I'm sorry, Jorge, what was the second part of the question again?
I think that was pretty much.
You were talking about trades before, how to package together trades.
Oh, so yeah. So if you're looking to trade for a player that you need a positional need, and you have an older veteran player, right? So the person that you're trading with is going to see like, oh, this player is 29 that he's offering me. I need some youth. So does that mean the person who's trading away the older player, you got to package, you know, the more draft picks with a veteran player, with an older veteran player? Conversely, if you're trading away a younger player, does that mean you don't have to give away as much draft capital because the person who's receiving the younger player still has many more miles to go on their usage?
It is the opposite. A younger player is going to generally cost you more draft picks, and an older player will be cheaper because, you know, the younger player, you can have them longer, so you're going to have to pay more. As far as putting a trade together, I let the buyer set the market. You know, I will contact them and say, hey, I'm looking for, I'll just use an example. I want to get Michael Thomas. Why don't you take a look at my roster, see if we could work something out. You know, what could I do to help you? We help each other. And, you know, sometimes it's about, what I say is, you guys have seen the movie The Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the end where he says, yeah, sell me
this pen? Sell me this pen, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not about the pen. He's here. Can you sign this? I don't have a pen. Oh, you create a need. So that's what demand, you do. Yeah. Trades too. That's what I like to do. Personally, I use ADP more than I use trade calculators. ADP, if you do not know, is average draft position. Some people don't know what that is, so I just wanted to throw it out there.
No, it's good.
There's actually another point I wanted to make too. I can't remember what it is. So when I remember, I'm going to write it down. Sorry, I did get my second vaccine.
No, it's okay.
You're good.
While you're thinking about that, you know, I just want to point out that Teddy and I are twinning tonight with blue shirts and the cool Fantasy and Frames hat, as well as Brian, which you can get over at Viridian Global. Check out the Fantasy and Frames page. We got hats, we got shirts, we got hoodies. My wife loves her Bella Canvas hoodie, all the Bella Canvas shirts. Will Harris over there at Viridian Global, thank you very much for putting together quality merchandise for everybody out there to purchase. So again, Viridian Global, Fantasy and Frames, go get some merch today. You know, I just want to thank you guys for coming on today. You know, one of the things here at Fantasy and Frames also is we want to make sure these pods are short and sweet. We value your time, but we want to condense them, get as much information as we can provide. So you can, you know, one, go out and enjoy the rest of your evening. Two, get something out of it. Learn, get smarter about fantasy football. And that's what we care about here at Fantasy and Frames. We want you to play fantasy football smarter. So thank you very much for coming here tonight and listening. Bauer, you remember what you were going to say now?
Yes, that's why it was in all caps in the private chat.
I remember.
This is the time of the year where people, they love the shiny new toys, the new rookies that are coming in, mm-hmm. right? So this is where you need to go buy players that are entering their second year. Guys that have a chance to be a starter, like Michael Pirine, Laviska Shenault. I also look at injured reserves because a lot of guys haven't cleaned up their rosters yet. So look at like a Cortland Sutton. And always use uncertainty to try to acquire a player cheaply. Like, man, Cortland Sutton's coming off an ACL. He's got Jerry Jeudy there. We don't really know what the quarterback situation is going to be with Drew Lock. My roster's not that great. I'm willing to take a chance.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things you could say. But again, the second-year players, look at guys that maybe started out a little slow last year or look to have been, quote-unquote, replaced in the draft. A couple guys started slow, finished strong. Michael Pittman from the Colts is right. A guy that I would love to get on as many rosters as I can. Right. T. Higgins. A lot of people think that Jamar Chase replaced him. T. Higgins is still going to have a spot. Let's not forget. Yeah,
they're going to pass a lot on that team.
And they're going to have to. They're also trying to kill Joe Burrow. But last year, they asked Joe Burrow, who do you want us to get? And T. Higgins was first pick in the second round. So these are all things that are important to think about. You know, there's a lot of other guys that I would like to trade for, too. And I'm not going to keep you guys all night. But also, I can't remember them all right now. You want to hear any of my trade targets? Just hit me up on Twitter at RewindCEO. I'd love to give you some of my trade targets. We could talk Dynasty. We could talk anything that you want. I'll help you guys out.
You know, Bauer, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. Check him out at the Dynasty Rewind and listen to the Dynasty Rewind pod. Also watch their live stream on Tuesday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Porkman, Nate, Chev, Bauer. When you have IDP, you got Bob Van joining you too. So a lot of, you know, great crew over there. A lot of great content, a lot of great Dynasty content. It's almost like, you know, ever since we met you guys, you're basically the cousins or the extended family, and we just we love hanging out with you all and appreciate all the hard work you do over there.
Same.
And Brian, congratulations again on becoming the new host of the 4ED Basics podcast. I told you I was going to spring it on you during the show.
Yeah, you did.
You can listen. We record that on Tuesdays at 8 p.m., and then that is going to go out to all the podcast networks on Wednesday morning. For those who are watching and maybe didn't catch all of the show right now, this podcast will be released Friday tomorrow morning. So, Brian, you know, Teddy, again, great stuff as always. So for Mike, for Brian, for Teddy, I'm Jorge. Head over to fantasyandframes.com. Check out all of our articles that we're posting. We're basically posting them daily. We even have a new writer on staff that we'll talk about more next week. So for everybody, have a great night.